Mainly because I think he did that quite a lot. He went and chatted with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, every day. We don't know for how long, it doesn't tell us. I think he had a lot to talk about. All this fantastic new creation that Adam and Eve were supposed to be looking after. I'm sure God had plenty to talk about and discuss about the Garden of Eden. The only trouble is Adam and Eve managed to ruin that relationship by listening to the wrong voice, as we know. And they disobeyed God's command. But as we read through the Bible, we discover that God wanting to talk to people. We have the patriarchs, Adam and his descendants. Although as we read those accounts, we discover those conversations are rather few and far between. It's going to be 40 years between two conversations. The person he actually talked to quite a lot was Moses. We have a fantastic account of Moses' conversation with God on the Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 34. But also we read in other places that Moses went into the tent of meeting and spoke with God every day, or most days. He only did it when they're actually not moving around. But Moses wanted to talk to God, and God wanted to talk to Moses. Then we get in 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." It's a bit of a gap after Moses. But in fact, God called to Samuel and started talking to him. You find that conversation with Samuel going on through that whole time. And then, of course, we've got David talked to God in a huge number of ways, and we've got all those recorded in the Psalms. And then as we go on, we find that God is talking to the prophets as well as through the prophets. We have those conversations recorded later on in the Bible, in the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and so on. So, in the Old Testament, God wanted to talk to people. In the New Testament, it works even better. Of course, Jesus, as the Son of God, wanted to talk to his Father. He spent many times in prayer, reading Jesus going off early in the morning or to a private place to pray to God. And the early church picked this up. We read in Acts 2:42, "The church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." So the early church caught that message, that habit, as it were, from Jesus, and was ready to spend time talking to God. We discover that Paul, of course, spent a long time in prayer. We get that in the epistles and in Acts. And we get in Hebrews, it says, Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." So Paul does it himself as an example, but also commands us to do it. In Hebrews 8:10, we learn that God says, "I will be their God, and they will be my people." We get the picture in Revelation of the New Jerusalem coming down and God being in the centre of his people. So God wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him. When we're looking at the Bible story, we can ask, who are the people that God talks to? Basic answer is those who will listen. That's the first step before anything else, is if God wants to talk to us, we have to listen. God won't talk to us if we don't listen. But if we do, then God will talk to us. Jesus challenges us, for example, well, many times, but Matthew 13:9 is one example of this, where Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." So the first step, whatever else we do, is listen. So the main way God communicates with us is through the Bible, and we've had that presented to us several ways this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, "All scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." But the main reason we need to read the Bible is that we need to get used to hearing God's voice. As we heard David Suchet saying earlier, the gatekeeper, this is John 10, verses 3 and 4, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." How do the sheep know God, the shepherd's voice? Because he's talking to them all the time. They're listening to him all the time. They've got used to hearing his voice. So this is the main reason to read the Bible regularly, so we get used to hearing God's voice. The other thing that suggests is we don't actually need to understand everything that the Bible tells us. The sheep have no idea what the shepherd is saying. They don't know the words. They just know that's his voice. So the key thing is listening to his voice. And understanding comes later as we continue to listen. The sheep gain confidence by listening to God's voice. Well, listening to the shepherd's voice. We gain confidence in God by listening to his voice through reading the Bible. But we do need to be careful how we read the Bible. That's why I chose John 5. I'll just read 39 and 40. This is in the NIV version. You, the Pharisees, diligently study the scriptures, because you think by them you will possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Why weren't the Pharisees actually hearing what God was saying to them? Because they got a fixed idea of what the Bible was there for. It was different from actually the Word of God. They were committed to the idea that Paul later calls justification by works. They read the Bible as a rule book. They wanted a set of commandments to tell them how to live. And therefore they weren't listening to what God was actually saying. So they didn't see Jesus for who he really was. So when we read the Bible, again, the emphasis is we need to listen to what God is saying. We mustn't come at it with fixed ideas. Must avoid a modern biblical scholarly approach, which is called textual analysis or textual criticism. They tend to ask questions of who actually wrote this passage. So they look at the Bible as a set of words, not as the voice of God. It means that perhaps they miss out what God is saying. To me, it doesn't actually matter if Isaiah was written by one person, three persons, or even 50 persons. What matters is that it was inspired by God, and that God is speaking to us through it. So we need to read it to listen to God's word, listen to God's voice. So how do we read the Bible? Well, we've had various ways, which I've reproduced some of them here. I'd reinforce Scripture Union, because that's one of the organisations that's very good. I'd also have to say Bible Reading Fellowship is another one, because there are many different organisations that do it, not just Scripture Union. You go with what you are used to or what works for you. You can buy printed material from Quench, which is now in Home Grange, the other side of Wokingham, if you have to go and find it. You can also buy it online, which Margaret will look at me at daggers because she used to work for Quench. We can use phone apps. We've already talked about those, and I've demonstrated one for you. That particular one was called YouVersion. There's another one called Open Bibles, which is actually somewhat simpler, which I prefer. But there are quite a few. You just have to look them up and see what you can find. You can get it online, as Roger pointed out. There's many different organisations produce Bible reading material that we can either order online or actually look at on the computer. We can do Bible courses. The Oxford Diocese runs some very good ones. I've been on a few. You can go do correspondence courses and really do it in a deeper way. In fact, I have to say that Jane and I spent 2 years at All Nations Bible College full-time learning the Bible. So if that is for you, then that is for you. If not, not. The point is that we need to find the best way for us to read the Bible. There's no particular way which works for everybody. You just have to explore and discover and try. And if something doesn't work for you, try something else. If you don't like Scripture Union, try Bible Reading Fellowship or vice versa. Bishop Andrew, the Bishop of Reading, is very keen on an approach called Lectio Divina, which, that's Latin, means divine reading. And he reads the same passage every day for a week, or even a month, or even longer. Why the same passage over and over again? He says every time you read that passage, God speaks something else to you. We learn something new every time. Now, that's the point of the Bible. It's not just a set of words. It's God's voice speaking to us. And he can tell us all sorts of things from it, even if we read the same passage over and over again. So whatever way we choose to read God's word, the important message is to listen, to find out what it says and respond to it, and to discover God's voice in it, even if we don't understand everything. Because communication is two-way. God wants us to talk to him as much as he wants to talk to us. We sort of say, why do we need to tell God what we want? Why do we need to tell him our concerns and worries? Basically, because he wants us to. God wants us to talk to him, to tell him everything. God already knows what we need, but he wants us to ask him. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The root idea is that God wants a conversation with us. So we must talk to him and allow him to talk to us. He'll listen to us. We just have to listen to him. So how do we pray? Again, there's many different ways. There's not going to be any one defined way of praying. You have to find out what's good for you and use that approach. Or use many different approaches in different times. The disciples asked this of Jesus. Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus answers by giving the Lord's Prayer, which is a very good place to start. It's a good model. But then we can go on to all sorts of ways of praying. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it starts by praising God. That's always a very good place to start. Why? Does God need our praises? Actually, no. We praise God because we need to praise God. It puts us in the right position before God. It reminds us that God is the one in control. Praising God doesn't push us down, it lifts us up, because we're approaching the creator of the world, the man up there, some people say. But the man in control, the one, the creature who is in, not, he's not a creature, he's all existing, the one, the being who is in control. So this is an incredible opportunity that God, we can talk to the one in control. We can talk to the one, the being who is in charge of the whole universe. And we can tell him our concerns, but we need to recognize to whom we're talking. That's why it's always good to start prayer with praise. We can move from Bible reading and prayer to actually hearing God's voice personally. We can listen to God speaking directly to us, as well as through the Bible. But he's not straightforward. This is why I chose the Ezekiel reading. Again, this is the NIV version. Ezekiel 12:24 says, there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel. So Ezekiel warns us that there's a lot of false voices. In fact, it's even worse today. There's so many false voices around. In fact, I can identify three others apart from God. One main voice is our own desires. It's very easy to want something very badly for ourselves and think that God is telling us that that's what we want. We need to check that very carefully. It's further complicated in that if we're really loving God and wanting to follow him, God will cause us to desire what he wants. But that's one of the things we need to check very carefully. The other voices are the cacophony around us. It's the problem. We can read newspapers, watch the television, look at apps and Facebook and other social media. There's so many voices around. An awful lot of them are false visions and flattering divinations. Even in the idea of false news, where people are actually telling us things that are wrong. So we need to be able to identify God's voice amongst all this cacophony. Of course, it's the season of Lent. Reminded that the devil comes and to tempt Jesus and to tempt us as well. And we can be led astray. So how do we know God's voice amongst all these others? How do you know that God is talking to us? The answer is by reading the Bible and identifying what God's voice sounds like and feels like. This is why Bible reading should be regular. We're not going to learn new things every time. It's amazing what we do learn when we read the Bible. Regular Bible reading allows us to know what God's voice is like, allows us to listen to it and identify what it sounds like, so that when God speaks directly to us, we know it's God and not all these other voices. So it's a matter of practice. As you practice something, you learn it better. So reading the Bible is this practice of listening to God's voice. So I think we're in a very privileged position that God, the creator of the world, wants to talk to us and wants us to talk to him. That's fantastic. Our job is to listen to what he wants to tell us. And the way to do that is to read his word and to pray to him. We need to do this regularly because we need to get used to hearing God's voice. We're then ready to find out what God wants for us and of us. Amen.